talking about being so prepared about where you want to end up that you hear a potential student comment as a fantastic entry point to go where you want to end up. In other words, it's your job to know where we want to end up. I don't think we make any apologies about that. But part of where we want to end up is building autonomous, proactive, thoughtful people.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading, K-12, a podcast for educators that is produced weekly. Okay, almost weekly. My focus is to discuss relevant topics of interest for teachers and school administrators. The shows will be an assortment of interviews and just little old me talking about subjects that matter to us, educators in schools K-12. Hey, by the way, got an iPhone or an Android? How about going to iTunes, Stitcher, or Blueberry and subscribing? Today's show is episode 32, One Secret to Better Teaching, Planning. To work with kids, no matter what age, you have to know what you are doing. You have to have an end in mind. You have to know what you want the kids to know. To do this, you have to plan. Today, I focus on the need to plan. Glad that you are here. Thanks for joining me. I hope you'll share the show with your friends, your colleagues, hey, even your family members. You know, get your kids, sit down, and listen to the podcast. I'm glad you're here. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, let's talk about planning today. You know, this is something that I don't know why, but there are, you know, we have colleagues who believe that they can just fly by the seat of their pants, that they don't need to really plan. They don't have to take time and put thought into whatever their subject or content is. And this is unfortunate because to really do well in a classroom, it's not done by flying by the seat of your pants. It's not done by poor preparation. It's done by taking the time to look at the kids in the class, looking at their successes, looking at their failures, looking at the content that you have, developing units with the end in mind, being very purposeful about what you're going to do to try and get them to understand the content. And so before we go any further, I want to simply mention this. Benjamin Franklin is given credit for the following. He said, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. Well, just think about that just a little bit. What's he talking about? Well, I got to tell you, I think I know exactly what he's talking about. Too often, people sit out, and it doesn't mean the classroom. Let's look all around us. They start thinking about, I got this idea, and they just go after it without putting any thought into what it takes to get started, what you should do throughout the focus of whatever it is that you're doing. They just go, go, go. Well, it's okay to go, 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 as long as you have some sort of thought about what you're doing. Well, in the classroom, you're going to stumble because the kids are going to challenge you. And if you don't really know what you're doing, it's going to show. And it does in the regular world, too, outside the classroom. I mean, take a look all around us. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Atlanta area, but there is Highway 400. 400 was built at a time to take people from the outer perimeter, which is the area of 285. That's 285 is the interstate that circles Atlanta that's supposed to help traffic flow. And 400 was to take people up into the northern counties, up in the northern suburbs. Now, what's interesting is way back when they designed it, they didn't think anything about the numbers of people that would be moving into those areas, into those counties just north of Atlanta in those suburbs. Some of those areas are not too far from the mountains in Georgia, not too far from Lake Lanier, not too far from some gorgeous northern country. And many people moved up there. Well, before they knew it, 400 was obsolete. And they had no plans on how to figure out how to expand it. It only expanded so far, and then suddenly it dead-ended into a stoplight. Went from four lanes down to three, down to two, and then a boom, stoplight. Oh my gosh. Today, that traffic backs up like there's no tomorrow, especially when most people are getting off work. Well, that's an example, you know, of failing to plan because they designed a failure. 285 around Atlanta is another example. And it's part of the reason, you know, part of the joke why people, whenever they come to Atlanta, it always seems like there's some sort of construction going on, especially off 75 or any of the main roads and thoroughfares, 85, so forth and so on. Well, there's a perfect example of it. So let's take that example. Let's go into the classroom. Depending on what content area you're in, depending on the size of your classes, you could be teaching, say you're a high school teacher, you could be teaching 180 kids a day in a traditional schedule. Well, is there such a thing as just, you know, kind of preparing just for the class itself? Well, no. Otherwise, if you're just planning for the class itself, just the content, you teach your subject. It's really the kids that you teach. And that's really the focus you have to have, because what planning does is it allows you to address their needs. It allows you to make the content work with the kids instead of just making the kids fit with all the content. In teaching our subject areas, we have to take time to plan so that we know what it is that we want the kids to know. Otherwise, we just go off on our tangents. You know, my background, I was a high school history teacher forever. Well, history is one of those areas that, I mean, people could just talk about any subject. You get onto your holy grail, whatever that is, and you just talk. Well, that's not the purpose of our classes. It's not the purpose of history classes, and it's definitely not the purpose of any of our other content areas. Not just to talk about our subject, not just to talk about our content. We really have skills and thinking abilities and the, you know, trying to help them use their minds well as more of our focus than just teaching the content. So if this is the case, then we have to understand how to plan. We have to understand that it's a process that we need to get good at. And it doesn't happen just by wanting it to or just by wishing it to. It doesn't happen that way at all. It takes time and effort to put together plans that really address the needs of the kids in our classes. And I don't care if you're from pre-K on up. It doesn't matter what the age. You need to have the ability to plan. So now let's talk about this process, because really there's a framework for thinking about planning. One of the best ones is Understanding by Design, Wiggins and Tai. Are the two, and I'll put a link to some of their books and just so you have a place to go to see some of this. But one of the things that they talked about for a long time is the concept of planning backwards, which means that you have the idea of the end in mind first. Stephen Covey talked about if we don't plan with the end in mind, then we're going to fail and not be successful. So let's talk about it in terms of the classroom. If we start with the idea of this is what we want the kids to take away, this is what we want them to be able to achieve, then we have certain questions that we need to ask ourselves in order to put the plan in process. Now, these plans can look any number of different ways. And one of the things that I'll do is I'll link to some examples. I'll provide some examples in the show notes. But we don't want to get caught up in just the boxes, you know, the paperwork. It's so easy sometimes for people just to go, you know, it's got to look this way and it's got to be pretty and it's got to do this and it's got to do that. Well, the problem with that is that we get caught up in moving boxes around, just moving boxes. One of my mentors, I'll never forget, way back when, he made the comment. He said, I think sometimes we get too caught up in moving the boxes around instead of really being focused on instruction and helping the kids achieve. And you know what? He was right. And plans are a perfect example because people can spend forever trying to tell you that it's got to be exactly this way and it's got to be in this type. It's got to be in this font. It's got to be this big. This area over here is written this way. This area over here is written that way. Whoa! Oh my goodness. You know, that's... Whoa! I mean, that's just not how it should be. You know, but back when I was a teacher, okay, yes, they had electricity then, but back when I was a classroom teacher, one of the things that I'll never forget was I was in a school, in a school system, where the administrators were to grade our plans. Now, the problem with grading the plans was that the teachers got caught up in, I have to plan because you say I have to plan, or I'm planning because so-and-so is going to grade it. And we totally missed the whole thought, which is, no, actually what we're planning for is so that we put together good instructional activities so that we help the kids get to understanding. But instead, because it was graded, and I kid you not, the assistant principal in that school that was in charge of it, she used a green and a red pen. And if she didn't like what you were doing, she wrote in red. And the things that you did well on, she wrote in green. Oh my goodness. I saved one of these because I forever want to remember never to get caught up in this type of world. Now, in saying all that, let's go to what the reality is. The content of it needs to center around certain concepts. Now, if you're in a school system that they've provided you plans or templates for using for your plans, then do that. There are many of templates out there. But don't get so caught up in it that it has to be perfectly this way. I hope that you're not working someplace where it's that world, because that shouldn't be it, because then you're just caught up in moving boxes around. Because the real purpose behind planning is so that you address the needs of the kids, so that you help them get to understanding, not so that we can make pretty boxes that can get little green check marks instead of the little red check marks. Yeah, it's made a it made an impact on me. So let's talk about the questions that you'd need to ask yourself. Well, you got to think about the following. Number one, one of the main questions you have to ask is, what is the point or purpose of this unit? If you don't know what it is that you're trying to do, and today, you know, in today's world, you know, we have standards that we're supposed to be following. Well, do you really follow those? Because if you do, then your purpose is there for you in your content area. If you do not follow this, if you do not spend time with your standards, then you probably are just guessing at what the real purpose is. So do you know? Have you taken a look at whatever this unit is that you've got coming up? What is it that you're trying to teach? What is it? What is it that you want the kids to know at the end? You know, because once again, let me pick on some content areas. For example, if in a math subject, all you're doing is saying, this is what we're going to do today, and we're going to plug and chug these numbers, and we're going to keep plugging and chugging, boom, 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 this is how we're going to do work. Well, that's not the big picture. That's not with the big picture in mind. If you're in a history class and all you're doing is focusing on this battle or on that battle, is that really what you're trying to teach? Or is there something bigger, some big picture that you're really focused on them learning, and the battles are just part of it? In English, what is it that we're trying to do? Science, what is it that we're trying to do? All our subject areas. You know, let's pick on any number of subjects. Music, art. You name it, we could be so caught up in the idea that we're just going to teach whatever we want that we miss out on the whole point of what it is that we're trying to get them to understand. And so to help you with this is where the concept of essential questions comes in. The idea of, in this unit, what is that essential question that we're trying to answer? And there are many, many support mechanisms for learning how to identify those essential questions that are in your standards. And I will share some of those titles and links with you in my show notes. But I can't tell you enough about spending some time understanding that you look at the standard and you say, what is the purpose of this unit? Now, as you do that, you also have to ask yourself, if this is the essential question, if this is the purpose, if this is what I'm trying to get to in the takeaway, then you have to ask yourself, how will I know that the kids are understanding? What will I put in place to make sure that I know if the kids are getting it or not? That's so important, and sometimes it is so often skipped. And this is where the concept of formative assessment comes in. The idea of checking for understanding, doing things purposefully, creating activities that are not graded to actually figure out whether, you know, Steve's getting it or not. Well, in your unit plan, you have to put information. In your planning, you have to put information like this in there. How am I going to do this? You have to ask yourself, what will I do to let me know that the kids understand? It has to be purposeful. You also have to ask yourself, how will I use the time? How am I going to divide up my class? If you're on a 4x4 block on a hybrid schedule where it's a sort of kind of 4x4 or sort of kind of similar block, ABAB type block, or you're on a traditional schedule, or you're in a school, elementary school or middle school that has schedule that's driven more by the different types of classes that are taken, whatever your schedule is, you have to look at that time frame and you have to say, how will I divide up the time? You know, they used to call it chunking. Taking that time of the class and breaking it up into smaller segments so that you can plan for activities in the class that will help the kids get to the level of understanding. You know, what I'm reminded of here is, you know, that famous scene in Ferris Bueller's Day Off where the teacher, the economics teacher, stand up there going, anyone, anyone?
In 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to alleviate the effects of the, anyone, anyone, the Great Depression, passed the, anyone, anyone, a tariff bill, the Hawley-Smoot Tariff Act, which, anyone, raised or lowered, raised tariffs in an effort to collect more revenue for the federal government. Did it work? Anyone know the effects?
Voodoo economics. You know that scene. And you see the kids that are just ready to pass out. Well, if we lecture to them for the whole period, we don't even ask them many questions. We don't even check to see if they're getting it. Well, they get bored out of their gourd, man. And not only do they get bored, are they really learning anything, or is it just that we said stuff to them and we expect them to be able to regurgitate it back to us? In which case, with many kids, that's not going to be possible because they're off on, you know, planet Z9 quadrant 4, you know, in the Echo Galaxy someplace. Or literally, they're just at home, or they're imagining they're at home, sleeping or playing a game. Well, if the initial question we have to ask is what is the point and the purpose, and we develop the essential question, and the second aspect we have to say to ourselves, how am I going to know if the kids understand or get it? And then we ask ourselves, how am I going to divide up the time? Then we need to think about, when I'm dividing up this time, what types of activities will I choose to deliver the lessons? How will I create engagement? Oh, this is so important, and so many times it is totally forgotten in the planning process. No wonder why the kids get bored. You know, I had a teacher, and part of the reason why I became a history teacher was because my two high school teachers made history so boring. Now, I'm not just kidding you here. The one gentleman that I will never forget, he was a nice man, but class went like this. Ladies and gentlemen, open up your books to page 323, and now I will read for the next hour to you from this book until we run out of time. And then I will expect you to do the questions tonight. Every day of that semester in that history class, that's what he did. Guess what? He wasn't planning. He wasn't prepared to talk to us about details. He didn't think about some big picture in mind. All he knew was that the textbook was going to take him through the subject and get him to the end so that we could answer the questions. He could give those to us, and then he could test us over those questions. Okay, that's not planning. All right, so if we're talking about identifying what the point or purpose of the unit is, creating your essential question. And essential means essential. There are not 5 million essential questions. And we've talked about, you've also got to figure out how you're going to know if the kids understand or get it, which means you've got to be including some sort of formative assessment in there that's not graded, but gives you input on whether they're following along with you. It also involves questioning, specific questioning, not just choral responses. We can talk about those a little bit more another time. It also means that you look at how you'll block or chunk the time in your class to accommodate the needs of the kids. And what I mean by that is that, you know, maybe you're going to spend 15 minutes with just an introduction to the lesson. This is what we're going to do. And then for the next 15 minutes, you're going to do an activity at your seats or in group activities or in some sort of lab environment where you're reinforcing the information we just talked about or learning more about it. And then maybe I'll put you in a setting then for the next 15 minutes where what you do is you reflect upon that activity or complete an aspect of an assignment or work together in a team. There are different names for this type, these types of activities, from guided practice to whole group instruction and so forth and so on. But the idea here is that you look and you say, how can I block the time, chunk the time, so that I'm using it to its greatest, to have its greatest impact? Well, if you don't plan, if you don't spend time thinking about it ahead of time, then it's not going to work. And I got to tell you something. If you've ever really worked with kids, I'm not talking about theoretical work with kids. I'm not talking about somebody who has never really worked with kids for more than a few months. Then you don't understand. But for those of you who spend day after day in a classroom with kids, you do understand, because their attention span is only going to last so long. And if you're not engaging them, if you're not making their brains get on fire and say, hey, I really am excited about this, if you're not spending time to create activities that make them want to do more, or that also, and just think about it this way, that have some sort of commercial break where you have a little transition, where you change what you're doing. And it doesn't mean you go from worksheet to worksheet. Oh my gosh, no. What it does mean, though, is that you have taken time to purposely plan different activities in the class, some of which, based upon formative assessment feedback that you've gotten, address some of the weaknesses or strengths of the individual kids. And I mean, you can get this, this can become even more intricate than what I've described to you, because it could be that you create groups that, as they become better at whatever it is they're doing, they move into these different groups. As they don't, maybe those are groups that you spend a little bit more time with. You know, that's taking that time, chunking it, so that you can create these opportunities in class to work with them is very, very important. So we've talked about identifying what the point and the purpose of the unit is, that essential question. We talked about asking yourself, how will I know that the kids are getting it, understanding it? We talked about use of time, how you'll block and chunk. And then we talked about what activities will I use to drive the lessons, to create that engagement. And you got to keep in mind when you're creating those activities, do I have time to create some sort of commercial break? Because if you just keep lecturing, boom, 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 forcing that content, boom, 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 then what's going to happen is the kids are going to want to duct tape you to the ceiling. And really what's going to happen is they're going to shut you off in their minds, and all they're hearing is Charlie Brown voices. Wah, 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 wah. Okay, so if we've done all that, now let's get even a little more specific. Can we add in there something that'll make it into the higher realms of thinking? Like, how can I connect these activities and this lesson to the real world? How can I connect their thoughts to something that's meaningful to them? Oh my gosh, yes. One of the examples that I like to use with this is, you know, if you've ever been to Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, there are lots of these little small parking lots all over the city. And by the way, you better pay your fee, otherwise you're going to come out to find your car either has a boot on it or has been towed away. Should have paid that $5 or $8, whatever it is. But the point is that there's plenty of these little lots all over the place. Well, think about this as a mathematics question, a business question, any type that you can think right here. There's just all kinds of studies that come out of the question that I've got here. Think about this. This is the size of your land, and you're trying to make the most money possible And the only way you can make more money is if you can park more cars in there, feasibly park more cars on that little piece of land. So what do you have to know in order to figure out how many cars you can park on this land to help you make more money? Do you see the real world connection in there? And that's a math problem. All these people who talk about, I don't do math. Oh my goodness, it's all around us every day. Any of our subjects we can attach to the real world. We just have to spend time to be purposeful about it. And we should be trying to do that. So now that we've identified what the purpose of the unit is, the idea of that essential question, what we want them to take away, what they want them to be able to respond to, and now that we've said, what activities am I going to do to help the kids understand so that I know that they've got it, that they've gotten to getting it, or formative assessments, and I've created the activities that I'll use to drive the lessons, and I've chunked and blocked the time of my class to accommodate the needs of the kids to introduce and use and reinforce the information by blocking and chunking the use, you know, how I'm using time in the class. Well, one of the other aspects that I need to also look at is I cannot skip this. I have to ask myself, what content vocabulary is essential to understanding this subject? And I have to think, and I have to look at my content, and I have to pull out those words that are so necessary for them to get. I can't skip it. Too many people do. Matter of fact, they just think that they'll get it from me talking or by me making them memorize something, which kids don't. You have to have them use it. And there are different ways of helping them get to knowing, from using Frayer models, which I'll show you an example of that in the show notes, from creating interactive word walls, from creating the use of graphic ogre. I'll try that one again, not ogres, but organizers. There's any number of ways that you can focus on. But the worst way is the memorization of words and their definitions. In the Army, I had a trainer who, I'll never forget this, he said, I don't want you to do a brain dump. You know what a brain dump is. Somebody talks to you for an hour and you go, yes, I've got it. And then as soon as you leave the class, you walk outside, you turn your head slightly to the left or to the right, and then you give it a big thump with the palm of your hand and you do a brain dump. All that information comes falling out to the ground so that next class you don't remember any of it. Well, when you spend time just having kids memorize lists of words, that doesn't help them learn it. So you have to learn those types of activities that you need to do to help them learn the content, the vocabulary in the content area. All of this goes into planning. So if you take these questions, what is the point? What is the purpose? How do I know that the kids understand? What activities will I use to drive the lessons? How will I block or chunk the time of my class to accommodate the needs of the kids? How will I connect with the real world? And finally, what content vocabulary is essential to understanding this subject, this unit? If you take those questions and you sit down, you can design yourself a very simplistic way for you to understand it. And that's all part of the planning process. And as you work with your classes, as you're doing formative assessment and getting feedback, you're using that information to adjust your plans because they can't be set in stone. Because, oh my goodness, I got to tell you, when you're working with kids, you got to know that nothing is set in stone. If you're in high school and you teach multiple classes of the same subject, you'll know that some classes work way better, faster, others not so well together, and some are in between. And it's not just the class, it's the individual kids. At any level, we have to be trying to figure out how to reach each and every kid, and that takes time, which means that you got to take time to plan. And it's that failure to plan that, like Ben Franklin said, causes you to fail. Your failure to plan means that you're planning to fail. You know, there's so many different thoughts about this out there. And besides the one by Ben Franklin, one of my all-time favorites is one by Paul Bear Bryant. All right, now, I'm a Georgia fan. All right, I'm not a fan of Alabama football, sorry. But I got to tell you something. He was an amazing motivator of young people. Bear Bryant said, it's not the will to win that matters. Everyone has that. It's the will to prepare to win that matters. Think about that. It's the will to prepare to win that matters. In reaching your kids and helping them get to understanding, you have to have that will to prepare and be purposeful about creating your lessons and activities around the content with the idea of them getting to understanding. It takes time. It just doesn't happen because you said, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm just going to fly by the seat of my pants. Even though we don't say that to ourselves, we convince ourselves that, oh, I've got this. I've been teaching this forever. I know exactly what I'm going to do. And the reality is, no, you don't. Because what's going to happen in the middle of that class is you're going to forget to do something. You're going to forget to focus on the vocabulary. You're going to forget to give the formative assessment. You're going to forget to do some activity that is really, really important for that day. Or a student's going to say something that's going to totally throw you off track. And they do that, don't they? A secret to success at becoming a better teacher is taking time to plan. Planning with purpose. And the plans appear in two different types of formats or two different types of thought. One is the big unit plan, the big picture one. And then the other one, don't forget about the daily plan. And that just means that you're getting very specific about this is what I'm looking at and thinking about for today. And in there, that's where you get very specific about the performance of some of the kids and how you can help them and what you're going to try and do to make sure that you check on Steve or you check on Rob or Jenny and you see if they're getting it. Don't skip the planning part. And remember, don't get caught up in the boxes. Don't get caught up in the moving the boxes around. If your school or system doesn't have a template that they want you to use, all the better, because I got to tell you, if you can create something that's simple for you to use and includes those questions that I've talked about today, then you're going to be successful. You're going to reach more kids. You're going to feel like you're making a difference and not that you want to pull your hair out. So once again, we have to plan. For the classroom, there are really two types of plans. There's the unit plan, which is the big picture, goes over multiple weeks. And then there's the daily. You can't skip it. It's where you get very specific about the kids and what you want to make sure that you address in that day's events. And then you have to ask yourself, for that unit plan, these questions. What is the point, purpose of this unit? This is where you bring in essential question. You have to ask yourself, how will I know that the kids understand or that they get it? What will I be doing to figure that out? This is where formative assessment comes in, checking for understanding. You have to say, what activities will I use to drive the lessons? You have to ask yourself, what activities will I use to drive those lessons? This is where you're talking about how you're going to engage the kids. What goes with that is, how will I block or chunk the time of my class to accommodate the needs of the kids in the class? That use of time, breaking it up into different activities, different time frames, so that you're not just talking to them for an hour. You have to ask yourself, how will I connect with the real world? You need to take time. It's got to be purposeful. And then finally, you've got to say to yourself, what content vocabulary is essential for the kids understanding this subject? And remember, anytime you use the word essential, 30 to 50 is not essential. Not at all. In my show notes, I'm going to include links. I'm going to include a few examples of unit plans as well as names of different resources for you in working on your planning. I wish you the very best. I hope today's discussion was helpful for you. And just know that make sure that you don't skip the planning phase. Well, let's try that one again. Make sure you don't skip the planning phase of teaching. Because the road to being a better teacher, the secret is taking the time to purposefully plan. Thanks for listening. Have an awesome day.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.com. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes Store or at Stitcher.com. Check back often for updates and new material.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.